nerd. You're a fucking nerd.
Poindexter.
You're a fucking nerd. And no one likes you.
Are we going? Is it going? Is this happening?
We're going. We're doing.
This is a record for us.
We're doing the thing. I know.
This is like two podcasts in what, 2 weeks?
Well, this is part two, so really,
technically,
it's
yeah,
like we did half a podcast.
But I mean, if we banged out like a half hour one every week, oh my god, that's never going to happen. It's not. I'm just going to stop right now. We can't even keep consistent with a damn radio show.
Oh yeah, we got to record that too. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe.
Welcome to Life at Darkside Records. So still, let's figure this out, you know, on the fly every time. We're good.
Mm-hmm, pretty
We're
much.
Good. Let me just pull up a list really quick here.
Wow. Organization.
I know.
It's like a talking points list?
No, it's just, it's all the movies that we talked about last podcast. Oh. So we can make sure we cover all of them.
Okay. I did realize, I think I mentioned you earlier, I have more to say on some, mainly just Suicide Squad.
As soon as I pull this up and can
focus.
Okay,
we'll just wait till redo. We'll just do what you want to do.
Okay.
All the things you want to do.
God damn right.
It's best not to wonder what happens up at the counter when no one's up there to supervise. Sometimes I'm amazed this place doesn't burn down.
Daily.
I walked out earlier, there was an ABBA dance party going on, and I was just like, what? I left for 5 minutes.
I'm actually okay with that part. That's fine with me.
How deep did you bury this list?
I'm looking at it.
Okay.
It's missing...
something?
Missing the Bournes. And...
Star Trek? Which I still haven't seen.
Okay.
All
right, you ready?
I've been ready. I was waiting on your list.
All right. This is pretty good for us, actually.
This is, yeah.
Two podcasts?
Yeah.
Like, within the span of 6 months, this is a new record.
This is a new record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you count it as half a podcast, it's still a record.
We got something up. We got foot in the door.
Exactly. And that's what
we
important.
Reminded people that we exist. Those two people who listen.
We are alive.
Mm-hmm.
We are alive.
Yes.
No, actually, you know what's funny is I get a lot of comments from people who say we want another Dork Side specifically. They say we like the Dark Side podcast, but we want another Dork Side podcast.
We like Dark Side, but we fucking love Dork Side.
Who'da thunk it?
Right?
So,
Dork Side podcast. 3 inches of glory.
Welcome to the Dark Side Podcast. This is, of course, an offshoot of the Dark Side Podcast. We recorded at Dark Side Records, 611 Dutchess Turnpike in Poughkeepsie. This is a semi-regular podcast.
Ish. Yeah. Every now and then.
Dedicated to all things nerdy.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is actually going to be a part two episode. We recorded an episode last week. It's our recap.
Yeah, so it's a summer recap, basically.
Exactly. If you go back 6 months, we did a podcast where we talked all about all the summer nerd movies that were coming out that we were excited to see. Mm-hmm. We started it last podcast.
Yep.
We're going to finish
now
it
today. Now, we're basically covering everything that we saw over the summer and how most of it probably didn't meet up with our expectations. Just mm-hmm. It might have been general disappointment.
And something I realized listening back to the first half of the podcast that is already up on our website is... you know it's been too long since we've recorded an episode when we called it the wrong episode number the entire podcast.
Yep.
Because the whole time we're like, cool, so this has been episode two.
It was three, right?
It was three.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
It was definitely three.
Right?
And I realized that as I was listening back and posting it online, I was like, oh, wow.
Right, because our inaugural was Force Awakens.
That's right.
And we had Justin as a guest,
mm-hmm.
and he contributed a little bit.
Mm-hmm. He did. He held his own.
And then we did the... summer preview and like what we're looking forward to and what to expect, and mm-hmm. then now we got a recap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
So, last episode, we talked about a bunch of movies.
Yep.
We were a little rushed. We were under a time crunch. We really just wanted to get something out for all of you. We'll go back over those.
Just pointed
in case
at my hat.
I did.
You don't need to gesticulate on an audio recording.
It helps. It helps the listener, like, you know, create a visual tapestry that is this podcast. create the rich woven texture
of... You're so full of shit.
You're correct. You're correct. I am human, therefore mostly shit.
Yeah, mainly.
So, we talked about a couple movies.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go back over a couple of them. We'll do them quick. We won't
I don't want to dwell too much.
Drag our feet too much in the mud there, because we already... Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How you doing?
It's been so long.
I know. It's weird.
I know.
It's almost like we did this already.
Let me give you an example of how familiar I am with the setting.
Go ahead.
My hard plastic chair has an ass groove.
For those of you who are listening, hey, welcome to the Dorkside Podcast. We tried to record this a couple days ago, had a huge hardware fail, and after recording the entire thing...
It's basically, if we sound at any point bored or angry or like we're sick of repeating ourselves to each other mm-hmm. during this podcast, that's the reason. This is the third time we've had this conversation.
Well, hopefully that means this one will go quicker, mm-hmm. everybody be up on it, and... We'll just
like, if you ever go to a play at the end of its run, everyone's just like, yeah, I know the lines. I know what I'm saying. The magic is gone.
This is, of course, an offshoot of the Dorkside Records podcast. Mm-hmm. This podcast, however, is 100% nerd.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about nerdy things, movies, comics. We leave the music for our regular podcast. This is for you, basement dwellers.
Yep.
Stinky kids.
Yeah, basically, if you... ever owned a 12-sided die,
mm-hmm.
you're probably listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or you should be.
And those were not judgment calls on my part, by the way. I fall into every single one of those. I dwell in basements.
I'm not going to lie.
I'm a stinky.
Okay, sometimes, yeah.
See? It's valid.
You really got to catch you on a good day.
I know. It's today. I think this is actually a true story. I think I've become immune to deodorant. Does that happen? Do you build up immunities to deodorant?
I don't know.
Because I feel
we're not science nerds. What the? I'm not a fucking doctor.
Someone on the internet. We have a Twitter. It is at Dorkside Podcast. Can you let me know if that's actually a thing? Because
are you really putting the fate of your armpits in the hand of one of our five listeners?
No, I'm putting my armpits' fate in the hands of the internet.
I don't know if I'm willing to take this gamble. Okay. This could have long-reaching consequences around the store.
Oh, look, we already got a reply. At Go Fuck Yourself said, "Set your armpits on fire. That will stop it." That's basically what we're in for next week.
I'm behind this. Okay. I'm changing my stance.
I put on deodorant every day, and I feel like...
gasoline.
I feel like it does nothing anymore.
Wait, what kind of deodorant do you use? Like some kind of hippie
saltwater
spritz?
I went away from those because those are... I used to use like Tom's of Maine, mm-hmm. but I feel like those were never strong enough. Apparently, I'm just very pungent.
I tried using natural ones, mm-hmm. and it lasts... You get like an hour of protection, and then it like doubles the odor.
Mm-hmm. And the craziest part is that... I'm here. I'm mm-hmm. in a record store with air conditioning sitting the majority of the
sometimes,
day.
Sometimes, when it's not pissing out of the ceiling.
It's like, I'm not, like, running or, you know...
God help us if you were. You're not doing parkour.
These aren't exactly... I'm not doing fucking parkour.
Funny story.
My pits stink.
I might not have gotten all the dog shit off my shoe earlier. I'm sitting here and I'm just... Something... Yeah.
So you're saying it might not be my deodorant. This whole thing is nothing.
Well, no. You, that's all you. You do you. I'll do my left foot. I'm going to put it back down there. Okay. I'm going to switch mm-hmm. switch knees here.
This is just like when Justin takes off his flip-flops during the podcast.
Oh, that's worse.
Dear God. Dear God.
Mm-hmm. That's not if it's been a rainy day or he stepped in a puddle.
That actually is a case where, in fact, the only solution is just set it on fire. There's no saving that.
Yeah.
Nope. So, we did part one. This is going to be part two of our summer nerd movie mm-hmm. recap.
Part two? Two and a half? Part three?
This is where, part two.
Where are we?
It's part two.
Okay.
For those of you who've been paying attention, part one we did maybe 7 months ago at this point.
Was it that long? I thought it was like March.
If only I had kind of...
Did you think ahead this time?
Information system that I could
did
access.
You share that? Is that like available for in like the shared folder?
Okay, let
are
me see.
Are you acknowledging... What happened last time?
We'll get there. Nope, I did not
date
the podcast.
I'm going to take this moment and bring in a sports break. The Mets are up 3-1 against the San Francisco Giants. I just recently downloaded the MLB At Bat app.
Mm-hmm.
and it sends me push notifications when something happens. Usually, though, since I'm a Mets fan, it usually involves an alert going off, me looking at my phone, and just descending into a world of swearing that is unknown to most people.
But it doesn't help you with your batting.
It does not. Well, okay. I mean, yeah, it tells you what not to do. Yeah.
It actually gives you batting tips?
No, it does not. It has nothing to do with that.
Episode 2,
mm-hmm.
Nerd Springa, which was our episode that we did about these summer movies that we were looking forward to, was released February 10th.
Holy shit.
Yes, we are.
So, like, 6 months behind.
Lazy. Unless you're going by a law of averages, in which case, episode 3 was released a week ago, so we're doing great right now.
Yeah, we have brought up our average.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by like 50%. We are killing it right now. So, episode 3 came out about a week ago. That was the first half of our recap. We did a shorty. We ran out of time. We just wanted to give you guys a taste, get back in the swing of doing the podcast. This is going to be episode 2, Summer Nerd Movies 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Last episode, we kicked it off. We talked about the ones we've seen most of them at
this point. We have seen most of them. I think you and I each are like lacking one. There's one that you've seen that I haven't, and then vice versa.
Exactly. So, last episode, we talked about the ones that we had seen together.
Yep.
Some by random circumstance. Mm-hmm. At least one by actually planning to go see it.
Yes.
And some just
I guess one was just kind of random, like,
yeah.
We've got half an hour, let's go to the movies.
But something that I think is an important thing, we're going to set up our own rating system for these movies.
That's right, yes.
So, for anyone not familiar with our Hudson Valley movie theaters, we have a couple different venues by which you can go see movies, and they kind of exemplify our rating system, so we're going to use them as our four-tiered system. Our four-tiered...
levels of suck?
You got it, basically. The highest level is, of course, Galleria. Mm-hmm. The Poughkeepsie Galleria,
this
stadium
is the,
seating.
The mall, stadium seating, slushies.
Exactly, like $15 a ticket.
I'm going to point out that I don't like the slushies.
There are no good slushies.
That is... No, bullshit. Bullshit.
Slurpees.
Slush puppies.
Great. Slushies.
No, slush puppies and slurpees. I guess they're the ground up ice. They say a liquefied snow cone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good shit.
the
icies. The icy is the foam.
Yeah, I'm not about that life.
I buy it. I get one every time, but I regret it.
Every time.
Every time. I sit there, I'm like, I'm not happy about this, but I have no alternative.
You've committed. You just got to see it through at that point, you know?
I'm sorry. That was a tangent.
Second tier, South Hills. We have a movie theater that's in Poughkeepsie that is fucking rad. The best part is, it's all second run, so as soon as things leave the Galleria, they go to the South Hills, and the South Hills, $2 Tuesdays, $3 every other day.
Yeah, you really...
So it's like a perfect thing of, I want to go to a theater, but I don't really want to spend $20. You still have a great experience.
They've recently, I believe they changed owners or managers.
Yeah.
So they, I mean, okay, South Hills used to be shit. Like, it used to be, I mean, you got cheap, you get exactly what you paid for, including a bad back, a bad neck, horrible food, and shoes that smelled like urine.
Yep.
From just sitting in your seat, which always boggled my mind.
I feel like if you made it out of there with your shoes, some guy didn't crawl out from underneath and pull them off.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
They've recently upgraded the seats, so there's no more sore back, so you can at least leave with urine shoes and no back pain.
So mostly urine-free shoes and no back pain.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sometimes they get a little sticky.
That's your silver medal. Bronze, Netflix. I don't think we need to explain that one. And of course, one star, which is just straight up flu. You're sick, you're in bed, you're at home, you got nothing
daytime
better to do.
Free movies on the TV.
You can't be bothered with making a decision about what to watch.
I wouldn't even say HBO. You pay for HBO. This is you want to watch like the cable, edited for cable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's your bottom rung. That's your
that's your Fantastic Four. If you will.
So let's just start with the things that we've seen together. Last episode, we talked about Batman v Superman.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Suicide Squad. We touched on Deadpool. We touched on X-Men Apocalypse. But let's take a minute, without rehashing too much, let's go into our thoughts about those movies. Where do you want to start?
I'd probably start with like just Batman, Superman, and Suicide Squad. They're both the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
They're both somewhat painful to watch. In one case, very painful to watch. So let's just get them over with, like a Band-Aid. Just rip it off, bleed out, and just wish it was the head of Warner Brothers who's bleeding out.
Wow.
Sorry, that was violent.
That's a very gruesome image.
I mean, I would mean that if I was the new incarnation of Batman who killed people.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. He killed everyone.
Or that guy who wrote that super nasty letter on the internet last week.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would also agree with you on those terms.
Probably.
So, Batman v Superman might have been the first one in the sequence. I don't remember the release dates.
Yeah, I think it was that, closely followed by Civil War.
Yes.
Because I remember... Did we see Civil War together? Did we go to that together?
I don't know.
We did, but we were separated. Like, we got there late, and you were with your very handsome friend. I remember that was a thing.
I have so many of those. Was it Adam?
No. Different guy, different handsome friend.
Different handsome friend. Wow, didn't know I had those.
Like a certain name, like a Kurt or a Kyle.
Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
Came out to very mixed reviews.
Warner Brothers in DC kind of did that to themselves, because they were like, this was their comeback. You know, this was their punch into the realm of their own superhero universe. They tried, they had some TV shows in the past, they had the Christopher Nolan trilogy, admittedly probably one of the best incarnations of Batman in cinema.
Agreed. Best
Joker. But Christopher Nolan backed out. He did his trilogy. He was done. Christian Bale didn't want anything else to do with it, and so they had to figure out something else.
Mm-hmm.
So they hyped the shit out of this, because this was like the first DC team-up.
And not just that, but this is one of the DC Cinematic Universe tentpole movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is their number one guy directing, Zack Snyder, who is the guy.
God.
It's the guy that, you know, he's their big guy. He's their Joss Whedon. You know, Joss Whedon did Avengers for Marvel.
Yep.
Like, he's the guy that they picked. Really, I don't know why.
Why are you...
It's an SAT reference. That's all it is. It's just Whedon is to Marvel as Zack Snyder is to DC.
You know what? And that very, like, just that algorithm you just created probably sums up all the problems.
But so, for whatever reason, they gave Snyder the keys to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
They let him in charge of the biggest franchise movies, Batman v Superman, and they announced
Justice
League.
He did Man of Steel.
Right.
Which was a thing that happened. there were a lot of people angry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that when it came out a couple years ago. I didn't hate it. I'm not a huge Superman fan. I think he's a Boy Scout, you know. It's kind of a cop-out of a hero.
Well, it raised to me the thing that was maybe the loudest critique of Batman v Superman is people called it the murderverse, where the heroes don't give a shit. They just murder people. Batman killed, God, so many people in that movie. Just, like, outright killed them. No problem with it whatsoever.
Which, I mean, even separate from, like, Superman's collateral damage in Man of Steel, which was a big issue for fans, like... In any origin you see or read of Batman, he's very adverse to killing.
I'd say
that's like what his one state. He doesn't use guns, and he doesn't kill if he can. I mean, an occasional villain might have fallen to his death accidentally.
Hey, come on.
You can't save Vicky Vale and the Joker. Oops.
he turns into like a Brooklyn Italian. Hey, come on. You know what you gotta do, man?
I mean, I don't think... Plowing through, really just, you know, helpless guns for hire. Helpless thugs. In your murder car. Beating people to a pulp, branding them with, like, a hot iron.
I mean, even, I will make a concession, those things, those last two things?
Right, the beating to a pulp, that's a thing, yeah.
Not murder.
Not murder.
So, I will make a concession.
I think he endorses that.
Yeah. Like, I'll say fine, technically that still doesn't violate the rule of non-murder.
Right.
But there was the guy wearing the flamethrower tank, who I assume burned to death, which is not just a death.
That's a terrible death. That's a message.
Oh, that's rough. Yeah.
Frank McGinnis, can we help you find something?
Technically you can't, because it would be cheating.
Oh. Oh, I see. Indeed.
Come on, man.
I'm not that... I don't have good self-preservation in that way. I won't aid myself in cheating. I have to be... ethically sound.
Okay, you can fuck off then.
I'll fuck off.
Hey! He's here for the hunt.
Becca knows. And so does... I'm sorry, what's her name?
Lily.
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 Lily knows as well.
It's Layla. Some murder. That I think of all the things in that movie that pissed me off the most.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a diehard Batman fan, and I mean, yeah, he's probably has some severe psychological issues and some just issues in general. But he was always a moral character,
And I even appreciated that that was almost the thing that led up. Or the thing that they used to lead up into Batman v Superman was the audience's critique of the Superman film, right, saying all these people died, and then they just, like, that was what they addressed head on in the story.
And then when somehow, they led up to it, like, Batman was, like, the champion of the people who hated that Superman killed everybody.
Right.
Like, he's like, oh, no, you killed a bunch of people, like, you know, Wayne Foundation employees, and now you have to deal with him, because he's upset, and he has a car.
And somehow, they fucked it up.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say somehow. Just we all, I think...
the stage, Frank McGinnis. Well done, sir.
Hang on, let me take a picture of you really quick.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit here and talk to myself.
I know, well...
We're interrupt this regularly scheduled broadcast to bring you Frank, who just won a record. Yay, Frank. Lots of silence. I'm going to sit here and talk to myself. Fucking JB does his fucking social media bullshit. Him and his grams and snappy grams. Snappy gram twit chats.
All right, old man. We have a winner.
So a lot of people were upset about murder.
And that led to... something that I was reading in an article that I think is maybe the thing that is the core problem with the DC Comics universe. After Superman v. Batman came out, there was a lot of disappointment, a lot of anger, a lot of confusion, and then everyone said, well, Suicide Squad looks awesome.
It's our only hope.
Yep,
they were the Obi-Wan Kenobi. And you know what? They didn't bring Luke with them. There was no hope. He was an old man who showed up and just fucked up. It's basically the alternate storyline to Star Wars. No Luke, no saving grace of the galaxy. An old man showed up to a fucking gunfight with a sword.
Yep. And then a very similar situation happened with Suicide Squad, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Yep.
But the issue was that Suicide Squad, same thing, came out to poor reviews, a lot of confusion, a lot of disappointment, and then everyone said, well, Wonder Woman trailer looks awesome. And that, to me... is the core of the problem. I read this in an article that I'll share on our Twitter, at Dorkside Podcast. But the article, I'll summarize it up as just saying basically that the problem with the DC franchise is that in order to have a successful franchise, it can't be, you know, like a poor movie with the hope of one good movie to follow it up. You need a series of consistently good movies. That's what makes a good franchise.
Right.
You can't have a bunch that tank and you hope that one does well. That's not the
sign. Not to mention, like, all these, you know, ones that have bombed, they're all in the process of being made already. So, like, they kind of jump the gun. And they don't wait and make Batman v Superman, put everything into that. They were already spreading themselves out and doing Suicide Squad, you know, at the same time as Batman v Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman was close to follow. I'm pretty sure Gal Gadot went from, you know, you get a week off, go put your skirt back on. You're going doing your own movie. So they don't give themselves any time. You know, their idea of saving themselves after Batman and Superman tanked was to rewrite Suicide Squad and giving it 3 months to fix itself.
That's an important thing, and a lot of people are saying that... Since Suicide Squad came out, there have been articles that have been published, a lot of buzz on the internet saying basically the problem with the movie was that reshoots, rewrites, studio intervention, just that, even Jared Leto, for example.
He supposedly came forward, and I don't know, I guess it was a fan interview or something where he was quoted as saying that he was pretty much tricked into doing Suicide Squad. Like, he was cast as the Joker and was very excited about it. He obviously got really into his role. He was sending bullets to people and giving them dead rats and just being ridiculous. And he said he was under the impression that it was going to be a much more, like, artistically done film. And maybe he just didn't realize that Christopher Nolan wasn't doing things anymore. Maybe he wasn't reading into that. He didn't realize that the creative team had changed. And apparently he still hasn't seen the theatrical cut of the film because he's just so pissed off. And that's kind of an issue that there's been speculation as to what's going to happen going forward if Warner Brothers in DC keep screwing their casts over, basically telling them one thing and then, oh, wait, no, we're recutting and we're doing this. Because apparently Ben Affleck was kind of pissed off by that too, because he was on board for the original script of Batman v Superman, and then things changed, which apparently is why he's doing his own Batman film down the line, and is writing it himself. It'll be interesting to see how the progression of DC basically burning bridges.
Well, it even goes to maybe a good analogy is if someone doesn't do their job right, they get fired from that job.
Yes.
Except in the case of the DC Comics universe, in which case Zack Snyder has done two. And obviously, I'm not here to Zack Snyder bash. I'm not here to say he's a shitty director
We would never, ever say that in this podcast.
I'm not here to bash Zack. He's their number one guy.
I'm sorry, wait, what? Yeah.
See, that's pretty much exactly...
Oh, my mistake.
No, it's okay. He's the guy with, he's their number one guy. He's the guy that's got the big points of the franchise. Mm-hmm. And, I'm curious how that relationship is going to go. I'm curious how they're going to go forward, if he's going to continue to be, if there's going to be just an overhaul.
Well, it's interesting because we keep referencing all these articles that we've read. I can't remember which one this was. After Batman v Superman, someone compared it to basically Zack Snyder, his just wrathful retort to everyone who hated on his directing of Man of Steel. And he just hate-fucked the fans. It was like, oh, you don't like me? Superman killing all these people? Fine, here's Batman. He's going to save the day and then kill all these people. Like, wow. Zack Snyder basically set up Zack Snyder.
He did a heel turn?
Comic fans. And, I think it's fair to say that if he keeps fucking the fans over, it's not going to go well for him. Some nerd in sweatpants is going to, beat him up in an alley.
I like that Zack Snyder has infiltrated the movie universe just so he could be a dick
to
movie fans.
To the trolls on Twitter. That's his response. The thing that happens when you're number one at DC and Warner Brothers with the Superman franchise or the hero franchise is that instead of having Twitter wars, you use multi-million-dollar films as your fuck you.
I wish that was true. I wish he was at home, part of a secret Illuminati club where they've plotted against. They're like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to rewrite the whole thing after they've greenlit it.
Why is that henchman named John Doe 255?
Don't worry about it.
Zack Snyder's up really bad.
Zack Snyder's Mr. Burns in this scenario.
Yeah. Jeff Johns is Smithers.
So, Suicide Squad. I will say, truthfully, that Jared Leto was actually one of my favorite parts of Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed his Joker. And the problem that I have with it is that I don't think they used him properly. And I feel like he was... I feel like he needed to be developed more. And he was just kind of thin. You know what I mean?
I think the moral of the story is, if you're going to use a character like the Joker, he can't be a sideline character.
Yes, yes.
You need to use... If you're going to use him, you got to do it. And do it right. And, there's now another rumor thing is that there's, enough Joker footage that Leto shot to make its own movie, basically.
Wow.
And they cut a lot of his shit down. Either for time, for plot, whatever. They even referenced whole scenes that were shown in trailers, never made the theatrical cut. My issue is similar, is that in a movie as colorful and flamboyant as Suicide Squad was, which, even if you compare posters, it's very much brighter than Batman v Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was monochrome opposite. Except for red, a little bit of red. For the blood of Batman's victims.
Wow.
And
this version of the podcast we're doing is a lot more brutal than the last one we did.
I warned everyone ahead of time. This is me, grumpy, because I've had this conversation three times. The gloves are off. There are no kid gloves.
Okay,
I got the Bat brands on now.
Zack Snyder's going to show up at the store. He's like, where's Roberto?
You're totally getting killed in the next movie.
Sick 'em boys, and all these nerds come out, like his henchmen.
Two would have, like, brainwashed.
Exactly.
Where was... Oh, right. Okay. So, it's such a big, colorful movie. The Joker just blends in with the rest of them. I mean, it was clear from the beginning he wasn't the main character, despite everyone kind of wanting him to be. Like, you wanted that chase scene with Batman on top of the car to last about another hour and a half. And in fact, if it was an hour and a half car scene, car chase would have been better than what ended up being the movie. They could have driven in a circle around and around, and it would have been fine.
Well, this leads me to an interesting point, which is that Batman v Superman, when it came out on DVD and Blu-ray, they released an ultimate cut or an extended cut that was some 30-plus minutes longer. Maybe that's what's going to happen when the DVD release.
And I think that was kind of a cop-out on their part when they first heard that announced. Like, oh, you were upset by the theatrical cut? Well, it's not our fault. I mean, the studio cut us. Like, oh, come on, guys. We're
cool.
We're on your team. Like, we're nerds, too. So here, buy this, like, $50 Blu-ray that has an extra 30 minutes of shit that should have been cut along with the rest of the movie.
Like, sorry, was the movie too long? Here's a longer one.
Right, yeah, here's a longer one. Martha's featured more prominently.
There's a third Martha.
Alfred makes another British joke. Meh. Here. And I remember originally, like, I saw an interview, or there was an interview with some guy, I don't know if he's a producer or something, who said... Like, he was disappointed by the reception of Batman v Superman. Kind of overly disappointed. And made a comment like, oh, the Blu-ray, you know, might not be that great. And then did a quick, like, 1 week later, had done a 180. And was like, hey, I'm $1 million richer. This Blu-ray is going to be awesome. Like, you are going to love this. It's for all of you guys who are pissed off the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also say, just, what a waste of the first 4K Blu-ray.
What, Batman v Superman?
Yeah.
Was the first one ever?
It was the first one that was... like, produced and created to be, like, a high def. I think the disc itself was, like, 100 gigs.
Really?
Of, like, video quality, 4K, made for all those fancy TVs.
That's interesting.
You could have done that any other movie that was popular that came out at that time. The Jungle Book. Come on.
Let's jump into another company who's put out some movies. Let's go over to the 20th Century Fox world, the X-Men movie franchise.
This is going to put me in a better mood? This is going to put me in a better mood. This was your cheer up.
I'm doing what I can. There's no stopping him. He's in Hulk mode. This year we had Deadpool and X-Men Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool, as we discussed, brought back to life by Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
A pleasant, delightful surprise.
Did you look up the director, by the way? Do you have the director's name? Because I always feel terrible, like, talking about Deadpool and not being able to reference him because he did such an amazing job.
Tim Miller.
This guy fucks.
Dude. Way to go, dude.
Because it was the first time... This was his first feature film.
Really?
First feature film. Unless the internet lied to me, which it would never do.
The internet doesn't lie about anything.
It does not lie. First feature film. And he just... I don't know. Sports. What's a sports reference? Hole in one.
You're asking me about sports
Hole
references?
Hole in one. Touch goal. Field down.
Okay, perfect. This movie is like the exact opposite of what happened with Suicide Squad and Batman v Superman, which is no studio intervention, small budget, fan base who generated pretty much all the momentum
the
for this movie.
The creative team were fans, not hired guns to just go in and make it fancy.
Well, either way, a smaller core of people who were put on it and ended up... It was great.
Yeah.
It was one that I went in, admittedly, with low expectations, enjoyed a ton. I laughed. It was funny. Like, it was just... I was pleasantly surprised
by
Deadpool.
There were boobs in it?
Boobs?
Yep.
Can't go wrong with boobs.
No, never.
And, I mean, obviously...
Gina Carano was in it, and I've kind of got a weird crush on her. I love her.
Are you talking about...
She was the muscular villain.
Not Inara from Firefly.
No, you saw her boobs, which was great for any Firefly fan. Firefly fan who wants to see Inara, go see Deadpool. Now, Gina Carano was like the henchman, like the one who fought Colossus at the end. There, I think it's ironic that, you know, we cite non-studio intervention as like a plus for this movie, because it wasn't even like that was an intentional thing.
Mm-hmm.
The studio didn't give a fuck about this movie. I think they were like, somehow these guys were allowed to make this movie through a loophole in a contract, and they're like, oh, okay, we're not giving you any money. You're not getting the rights to any of the X-Men. Like, they had to fight to get Colossus and Teenage Negasonic Warhead or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I understand was also partly a budgetary thing. It was just they couldn't afford pay the licensing for it.
Right, and they weren't allowed to use other mutant characters who were involved in another storyline.
Mm.
And all the X-Men movies recently have had been, you know, just all the mutants. Put all the mutants in mm-hmm. one blender and we'll just make a horrible mess. so they had to find someone who wasn't in the blender.
Mm-hmm.
And they found Colossus.
And they did Colossus right. Right. Finally.
Important thing, he was actually fucking Russian. Something that's been totally forgotten about the rest
downplayed.
Of the time.
Yep. Well, you have, and then the other side of the coin, which is X-Men Apocalypse. Big budget. This was what they were hoping to be a summer blockbuster.
Can we insert crickets here? Like, is there a room for crickets?
We saw that together at mm-hmm. the South Hills.
Yep, that was out of the gate, a South Hills movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember us being in the theater. I believe we talked about this last podcast, but I remember leaving the theater. Exactly. And saying, what did we just watch?
Yep.
Just threw a whole bunch, changed a bunch of stuff, threw a whole bunch of people together. There's some confusing plot lines, but I remember halfway through the movie, we looked at each other and said, all right, we're just going to do this.
Yep.
Just let it ride. Go on ahead.
We don't want to be the guys who are complaining in the movie, because nobody likes those guys.
Even at South Hills.
Then you will get your shoes stolen.
Mm-hmm. A high point for me, which is the ultimate synergy of licensing and brand marketing, was using Metallica as the Four Horsemen in the movie.
Yep.
Well done.
Couldn't have put that in a better movie. But it's neither here nor there. I think I mentioned last time, or the last time that was erased, when X-Men Apocalypse came out, I remember like the week or so before seeing the ridiculous, you know, all the TV trailers and stuff like that, mm-hmm. thinking, oh, it's coming out, a couple weeks, cool, gotta go check it out. And, you know, things came up. I didn't end up going opening night or opening weekend. And before I realized it, like, weeks had gone by.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking to myself, I haven't heard anything about X-Men Apocalypse. Like, my friends who are nerds haven't talked about it. I haven't gone and seen it yet. It's not trending on Facebook or anywhere else. And I'd turn to you one day and I'm like, hey, did you ever see X-Men Apocalypse? And you're like, oh, yeah, no, I didn't. I kind of forgot it existed. And I'm like, me too. And that's when we made plans to go to South Hills. Mm-hmm. And that just sums up the whole film. Like, oh, it happened. Meh.
Yep. And I wondered if that was at the fault of the marketing department, mm-hmm. poorly executing marketing, or if it was just the response to the movie itself.
Yeah.
But X-Men Apocalypse, I was underwhelmed by X-Men Apocalypse, and it's sad because it is another one of Bryan Singer returning to direct an X-Men franchise movie.
See, I think it's sad that he came back. I remember being a child and seeing the first X-Men, like the Bryan Singer one that mm-hmm. spearheaded the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was disappointed then. I'm like, why the fuck are they in leather? You can't do half the things you need to do in leather. Storm doesn't have lightning. She kind of hovers. Why is that old man playing Magneto? I love Sir Ian McKellen. The fuck? What was he doing there?
Look, we'll get to old movies, to the original.
I'm just saying, that's just my preface to being consistently disappointed by Bryan Singer's existence on this earth. Specifically in the X-Men franchise.
Well, in the lens that you're looking at it through, then let's put it this way. So you had those movies, which you disliked.
Yes.
Then
X-Men 2. I enjoyed X-Men 2.
X-Men 2 was a high point for me, certainly. Yep. And then there was X-Men 3. And then there was the Wolverine Origins movie. Mm. Ugh, there was a lot of turds.
There were Yeah.
They brought Matthew Vaughn in, who directed X-Men First Class.
Brought it back.
I thought great job.
Yep.
Bryan Singer came back. He did Days of Future Past. I was on board.
I was okay. Whatever.
I honestly, that's another one that I went in with very low expectations, knowing what Bryan Singer had done in the past and not being, you know, excited by his directing, but I have nothing negative. And I loved X2, so, you know, he kind of got a pass.
He did okay, yeah.
Days of Future Past, I really enjoyed. That was one of the ones that and First Class, those two, really well done. Brought me back into the franchise, so when he said he was doing Age of Apocalypse, I was like, all right, that's cool. Oscar Isaacs was in it. Love him.
He was cool. People were in it.
People, it existed.
The,
I wish I had something constructive to give us feedback here.
It was a movie. And let's put it, I would have rather gone home and watched Game of Thrones reruns.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
Ooh, look, it wasn't Fantastic Four.
True.
All right.
True. I think that would get... Yeah, that would stay solid at South Hills.
Let's move into the movie company that seems to actually know what it's doing with its franchises. Into the Disney World and Marvel movies.
Yeah, I'm going to Disney World next month.
Oh.
I'm excited.
That sounds terrible.
Listen, it's fun as an adult.
Look, try not to have pee all over your shoes.
They don't.
It's like the South Hills.
It's not South Hills. If a kid pees on the floor in Disney World, they can eat my alligators. Everyone knows this. It's a common fact.
Captain America Civil War. For me, I would say, even with the reservations I had about it and the questions that I had after seeing it, and it's, let's say the concerns I had, probably the high point of the movies for the summer for me.
Yes, I would agree. And I think you're right. Even not examining it critically from like the plot and script perspective, I mean, we both agreed in our first round of this summer blockbuster recap that, you know, we were huge fans of the comic series. But the cinematic universe is obviously not going the same way in terms of plot lines. So they did a Civil War, had some relation to the comic series. It'll be hopefully justified by the next movies in the series. And that'll tell us, oh, this all went this way for a reason. They had a larger plan. Kevin Feige knows what he's doing.
Kevin Feige?
Feige, Feige, whatever. Fuck you. Fuck you and your Beyonce. I know words. Anyways, I think remaining optimistic for Marvel, which they've seemed like a safe bet so far.
They're getting it right.
Yeah.
Making each one a totally watchable, I dare say, good movie.
They're fun to watch. Like, yeah. I will watch Cap beat up Black Panther any fucking day.
And truthfully, I'm kind of waiting for the first Marvel movie that truly tanks. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to, you know, like, cast that doubt.
Even the weaker ones don't tank.
They have never had one that has been a complete...
Iron Man 3 was still an okay movie to watch.
Yeah. Still did fine in theaters. Made a ton of money. Still, Ant-Man, their smallest budget movie.
I was really skeptical on Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Great. So, I'm waiting for that one that is just...
And I loved his fucking cameo in Civil War.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I mean, it's an inevitability. It's a matter of time. It's going to happen. I'm curious to see which one it's going to be.
Yeah. It's tough, though, because at this point, like, you just have so much... You're excited for all of them.
Yeah.
You know? Like, every time there's, like, a new Marvel trailer, like, oh, shit. So, we'll see.
Well, let's talk really quick about the movies that we did not each see. Let's get into our personal reviews here.
Okay.
You saw Jason Bourne.
I did.
I saw Star Trek Beyond.
Yes, you did.
You want to flip a coin, see who talks first?
Okay.
Here we go. I pretended to flip a coin to you.
Okay. Tails, am I going first? Okay. I'll go first. I won the coin toss. It was 50-50. I win. So, Jason Bourne, one of the ones I believe in the 6 month ago podcast you gave maybe zero fucks about?
I would say that's an accurate number. Yes.
And, I mean, I went into it excited, but understanding that it is the fifth movie in a franchise that's probably getting a little old, as is Matt Damon, the lead actor. But the first three movies, the first trilogy involved Matt Damon, which would be Bourne Identity, Supremacy, and Ultimatum. It was so awesome to watch. Like, I'm a you know, I'm an action movie fan. It doesn't have to be specifically nerdy. Like, I'll go see the Die Hards, even though I don't care how many they make. I'll go see it. I will go watch The Rock blow things up and look handsome driving a helicopter. So, yeah, I'm a sucker for a good, solid action movie.
And an interesting point is that, which we talked about before, is that I don't actually know anything about the Jason Bourne movie franchise.
Yep.
I did not realize Franka Potenza was no longer in it.
Right.
I didn't realize her character had been killed. She was my favorite part. I assume still in it.
No.
But
Jason Bourne is kind of like the Game of Thrones of the spy world. Like, if you're not Jason Bourne, everyone dies. You're just going to die at some point.
And so just help me out here. Does he have superpowers?
He does not.
So he wasn't like in a secret super soldier program.
It is he is a black ops assassin for the CIA.
Right.
And it does not take place in like a superhero. It's not sci-fi or anything like that. Like, he is just like basically an incredible human specimen. If the government put all their money into training him, he is mortal. He bleeds, he gets his ass kicked sometimes.
But he's not super smart or, like,
no.
They didn't inject him with some sort of thing.
He was a Marine who was recruited for the Black Ops program.
Gotcha. And what about Jeremy Renner?
I'm sorry.
Jeremy Renner?
Who?
Hawkeye?
Oh, him. He was in Bourne Legacy, which was basically, they made the first three movies with Matt Damon.
Right.
Matt Damon was like, okay, I'm good. I did my three movies. The story is pretty much wrapped up. I'm going to go about my business and make other films. And the studio was like, oh, but wait, we can make money with this. Do you want to come back? No? Okay. Let's make The Bourne Legacy, which is about another spy assassin guy. But Jeremy Renner, basically, they realized you can never have anyone as successful as Jason Bourne. In the movie universe, they're talking, they're like, you can't, create this twice. Like, he's just that awesome and that badass. Let's just give these guys drugs. So they basically give Jeremy Renner, like, his character, like, takes a pill every day. It's a steroid that makes him as good as Matt Damon. Even though Jeremy Renner will never be as good as Matt Damon.
So it's much closer to my understanding of this movie franchise.
Consider Jeremy Renner the failed super soldier. He's the crossbones.
Wow, okay.
Like, he's just, he wants to be that, but he's not. He gets his ass kicked.
Thanks for putting it in an analogy. I can understand.
Now you understand.
He's like the Don Mattingly of A-Rods.
Yes.
Sports.
Yep. Yankees suck. So that's like the backstory. This was the fifth movie they're making. They're really kind of stretching themselves here. Matt Damon came back, either for money or love of the franchise. I'm not sure which.
And also, this also marks the return of the original director of the first three, Paul Greengrass.
Yes, and that is one of the reasons why I enjoyed the movie and enjoyed them all, is because there was continuity. Not only in storylines, I mean, the storyline for this one, almost a dead repeat of the past storylines.
Jason Bourne's Force Awakens. Sorry.
Yeah, I still like that movie.
I still like that movie.
Anyway. The plot line was a dead repeat. Jason Bourne's trying to mind his own fucking business. The CIA doesn't want him to do that. And so he has to kill people.
Oh, okay. That's a strange interpretation of the story.
You poke the bear and he comes up and he kills people.
Okay.
There comes car chases, spy versus spy fights, and that's how it goes. But the continuity, by bringing in Paul Greengrass again, is that the cinematography is the same. The vibes, the music is all the same that you love the first time around.
Sure.
So it was just refreshing. Like, you knew what you were getting into. I hope you knew what you're getting into by going to see this movie. Jason Bourne fans, let's go to a fun movie. I gave it roughly like a 50% area. Like, it was better than Suicide Squad by far. 31% better than Suicide Squad.
You actually texted me you got out of Jason Bourne.
Yep. Because it wasn't original by any means, but I had fun watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was at no point was I grimacing and being like, oh my God, why the fuck don't they kill Harley Quinn?
Well, I saw Star Trek Beyond, which
I have no excuse for not seeing it. I really want to see it, and I haven't gotten there yet.
You still can. You've got time.
Realistically, I should have gone between the last podcast and this one, or the last attempted podcast and this one, but I haven't.
That's okay. That's okay. Star Trek Beyond was another one. The Star Trek, let's call it reboot, that they've been doing, that was spearheaded by J.J. Abrams, I have truly, really enjoyed. I love the casting. I love the directing. I love the stories. It has been a truly fun, pleasurable, it's been a great ride so far. They've done it really well.
They haven't taken themselves too seriously. I think there was a huge risk going into the reboots of really pissing off the Trekkies. Like
a diehard fan base.
I mean, let's face it, they're, you know, maybe not be, they may not be as fun as the Star Wars nerds or the Marvel nerds, but they're fucking there. They, you know, it's like the NRA. When you piss them off, they will come out in droves and they will tell you. They will put phasers in your house. They will fuck you up with in Klingon.
This movie, however, was directed by Justin Lin, famous for directing Fast and the Furious movies.
That's right.
So I will say that when they announced that...
Now, when they had, in the movie, when they had the Honda Civic racing through the back of the Enterprise...
I remember that, yep.
Okay, that was a good scene, right? And then Vin Diesel popped out?
Well, they hit the nitrous booster in the Enterprise, you see? And he had to turn the little canister.
They had like a hologram of Paul Walker there.
R.I.P., baby. R.I.P.
I'm just saying, he was driving fast.
But truthfully... You know, I think that there was merit in picking who they picked. I mean, if they could do, if Justin Lin could do what he did with cars and racing and put that in space, spaceship racing, and make it look cool, you've got a great movie right there. So there's a lot of potential
and
there.
I think they made a choice with the Star Trek franchise in that they were going for fun.
Yes.
I mean, and one of those kids, I didn't necessarily pick a side when I was younger. Like, I liked Star Trek, and I liked Star Wars.
Same.
I guess, in terms of nerd level, I am much more knowledgeable about Star Wars. Like, I can tell you D-list characters and where the fuck they're from. Star Trek, I know the crew. You know, Jean-Luc Picard.
That's TNG. All right.
Whatever. But they weren't... They're never as fun as Star Wars movies were. And so they were always very, you know, scientific. They were kind of slow to build. They were cool, but it was his own thing.
They presented a very different universe.
Yes.
A universe that is
all, they were like Spock. It was science. It was based in our reality. So it wasn't a galaxy far, far away. It was our future. And, you know, it was all about the science and the future of scientific exploration and some Klingons. But I think they made a choice with the reboots by making them fun. And they were saying, you know, Justin Lin can do fun movies. Like the Fast and Furious movies, if nothing else, it's a good time to kill 2 hours.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, if they announced Justin Lin is directing Star Wars Episode 9, people are going to die. People will die.
You don't know. It's going to be another space race. But the... Star Trek was also written by one of my favorite Hollywood personalities, Simon Pegg, who I am unabashedly a huge Simon Pegg fan. I'm a total fanboy. I'll see everything he does.
Did you see that romantic comedy he was in?
Can you be more specific? Was it Run, Fat Boy, Run?
Nope, I saw
that. Because I saw that one.
Okay.
It's not Shaun of the Dead.
No. It was recent. I ended up watching it on Amazon one night. It was like... He ended up on a date with the wrong girl, and then they...
Because she was going to meet someone else.
Yeah, and she got the book, and we have clearly both seen this movie, and it's... I really enjoyed that movie.
We definitely cuddled and watched nothing. Okay. Simon Pegg, I'm a huge Simon Pegg fan.
Yes, even his romantic
comedy. Wrote it, and I was in it a lot more, and he's great.
Yeah, I didn't realize until after The Force Awakens came out... kind of how nerdy he was.
Apparently,
like he was helping Abrams ghostwrite some parts of The Force Awakens.
Really?
That's what I heard. And he had a cameo in that. He was the junkyard alien the pawn broker guy. And I feel like now, you know, he's out of the nerd closet. So I was like, put my name on Star Trek. I'm helping write this.
I don't know. Did you see Paul? The movie Paul?
I did see Paul.
He's pretty much been out of the nerd closet for a long time. Did you watch Spaced?
No.
His TV show?
No, I never saw that.
we'll do an episode about that. Okay. You should watch Spaced. Okay. Listeners, if you haven't watched Spaced, it rules.
Anyways, he's out of the nerd closet, and now he's putting his name on things mm-hmm. as big as Star Trek, which is cool.
But Star Trek, I think, has done so many things right. Good casting. I enjoy everyone who they've put into these iconic roles. Chris Pine as Kirk. Mm-hmm. Zachary Quinto as... Quinto? Maybe I'm Quinto. Pronouncing things poorly this episode. As Spock, doing a great job. Even bringing in Leonard Nimoy.
Yep.
You know, to sort of...
Hand off
yeah,
the franchise.
Yeah, pass the torch.
You know.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool move on both Nimoy's part and the franchise as a whole.
Yeah.
Just kind of smoothing over any transitional bumps.
Yeah, it's a good nod to both things. And yeah. even in the new movie, they make a nod to the original cast. It was good. Cool. I think you'll really enjoy it.
I am looking forward to it. I hope to catch it at a Galleria and not at South Hills, but I'll go to South Hills.
And one of my favorite things also about Star Trek was the villain, who, when I went to see it in the theater, I remember the first time the villain came on screen, I remember thinking to myself, you know, that kind of sounds like Idris Elba. I wonder if it's Idris Elba.
But who's watching the Rainbow Bridge, then, if Idris Elba's in Star Trek?
Look, Idris Elba can do anything he wants, because he is mm-hmm. the best.
Yeah, he's pretty fucking awesome. You ever watch his cop show, Luther?
I have not.
Check it out. It's cool.
Okay.
BBC show. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Basically a badass British cop.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the rumors that he might even be the next James Bond.
Yes.
He is perfect for that role. Oh my God.
I'm also a bit of a Bond nerd because of my spy movie thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if that was debunked or not. I know there was a horrible follow-up rumor that says like the production team said he was too urban and too street to be James Bond.
It's one of these internet...
Like, fuck you, England.
Half of this podcast has been internet speculation.
Yes.
We are not exactly the pinnacle of journalism here, so... Let's just roll with it. That was a rumor that was going around. Yeah. I would love it to be true.
Yep. I agree. Although I think Daniel Craig has one more in his contract.
Okay. And then there was even the main female alien who was in it. She had, you know, paint all over her face and her hair. And it took me a while. It was one of those things during the movie I'm watching the whole time going, I totally know who that is. Oh, man, it's killing me. And then I realize I'm in the car going home and I go, oh, right. She's the lady from The Kingsman who had the blade legs.
Yeah, like assassin right-hand
yes.
person. Okay.
The Blade Runner.
Blade Runner.
That's mm-hmm. who it was.
Not Harrison Ford?
To my knowledge. I'm pretty sure it's not Harrison Ford. I mean, I think I would know at this point.
At some point, we need to discuss the prospective Blade Runner sequel that Ridley Scott's doing. It's probably going to be awful.
We'll talk
I'm really excited about it. I'm sorry.
No, you bring up a great point. Let's talk about things that are coming out.
Okay.
Let's start with something big.
Closer than the Blade Runner sequel, because I don't even know when that's happening.
Something that came out recently, which is the new Star Wars trailer.
Yes.
For Rogue One. The teaser trailer
Swing.
Has been out for a while. And then during the Olympics, they premiered the first full trailer for Rogue One.
I'm not gonna lie, it's the only reason I was watching swimming that night. Like, I'm like, come on, Phelps, just put them out of their misery, and I want to watch this trailer. And he did. He killed them.
It was one of those ones that I'm in. I'm totally mm-hmm. in. Such a good trailer. Well done. Everything about it looks great.
Initially, I was skeptical when Disney Lucasfilm announced they were doing offshoot movies.
Absolutely.
So... kind of out of nowhere. Like, obviously, Star Wars, ever since the original trilogy, has inspired comics, the whole series of, like, novels about mm-hmm. the expanded mm-hmm. universe, video games, computer mm-hmm. games, all sorts of stuff. And they kind of took that and were like, oh, you know what? This was a really cool idea. Let's do more films about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't have to be this one storyline.
And a great part about it is that it brings it back to the Star Wars universe that everybody knows.
Yeah.
It brings it right back to
you're
that classic universe.
Not an alternate dimension future or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You're going back to the Death Star, back to Star Destroyers.
Yep.
All the walkers in the desert. And
exactly. Introducing new characters, but it's all in familiar territory. Mm-hmm.
I like the new characters. They have enough of the staple characters to kind of... kind of hold it all together. You got Mon Mothma, the leader of the Rebel Alliance.
Sure.
And there's the got to play a young Moff Tarkin.
Right.
Otherwise known as the douchebag who blew up Alderaan.
Yes.
You don't know who Moff Tarkin is?
I know who Mothra is. Mothra Mothman. He's a giant moth who might be part of the Rebel Alliance.
You don't know who fucking Moff... what the fuck? Get out. Go home. Oh, God. This is a...
It's actually George Lucas in a costume.
That's shame. He's Mothra way Mothman. Too skinny to be George Lucas. Oh, Mothra is George Lucas in a costume. I'm so confused. Where's George Lucas?
I don't know.
Anyway, Moff Tarkin, the skinny, skeletal guy.
With the robe?
In the new trailer, he has like the cape.
Okay.
The white cape. He's like the military like general.
Okay.
In A New Hope, he's the one in charge of the Death Star who tells Leia, tell me where the base is, I'm blowing up this planet. Oh, thank you, but fuck you, I'm blowing it up anyway.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. Peter Cushing was the original British actor.
More cushion for the pushing? Would you say that's his catchphrase?
You're shitting on this man's grave.
Oh, he's dead.
I'm sorry. So.
Then I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
He was a famous British actor. He was in a lot of the old like horror movies and stuff like that in the 70s. And he played Grand Moff Tarkin. I'm embarrassed for you now. I do not cut any of this. You take the shame like a man. Listeners, hit our Twitter.
Listeners,
shame this man.
Tell me who your favorite B-level Star Wars character is. Is it Mothman Fartface, or is it Mumra Thundercat? This has gone off the rails. Yeah, that's like, what happened.
Anyways, so that for the real Star Wars fans, there are some other characters who you will recognize and kind of hold things all together while they introduce some other characters, which is similar to what they did in Force Awakens. You have the staples, and then you have the new people.
And the big reveal at the end of the trailer was, of course,
Vader.
Fucking Darth Vader.
It better not be Hayden Christensen. That's all I'm saying.
I hope it is.
I'm so upset.
Let's just bring him and throw him on another lava planet and cut more of his limbs off, I will be happy. Happy.
Ugh.
So it looks good. I'm excited.
We could recognize a few people in the cast. You have Forrest Whitaker as the token black guy, who's armored and presumably kicks some ass. The chick I didn't recognize.
The lead chick. The main character in the movie.
I don't know her name. I feel like I should, but... Do you know her name? You're not having a good day.
I'm on Team Trek, so...
Okay, that's fine.
I recognize
Donnie Yen, who is a Chinese actor and awesome martial artist. He was the dude with the staff in the desert, kind of kicking ass.
Okay.
I'm just excited that he's there, because... It wouldn't matter the quality of his movies, like, he's always... brutal. Like, cool. He knows his shit.
Cool.
Like, you know, do your own stunts kind of guy, and that'd be cool.
Listeners, let us know what you're excited for. Let us know what's coming out that we should talk about. Let us know what's already come out that we should talk about.
There's another Alien movie in production right now, too. No trailers yet, but it's on the horizons.
There you go. So, let us know what you want us to talk about next podcast. Did we leave anything out? Did we forget anything? Let us know. Please, please regale us with all the inaccuracies in this podcast.
You know what's not an inaccuracy? The name of Grand Moff Tarkin.
Mumra Thundercat. That was my favorite. Okay. Follow us on Twitter. Shoot us a message. Shoot us some questions. Shoot us your comments. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you're excited about.
Please enlighten us with your nerd superiority.
We'll be back.
Fuck Zack Snyder.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. I've held it in a long time.
I'm proud of you, actually. That was a commendable amount of holding it in. So, until next episode, may the Force be with you.
Live long and prosper. Gosh, I'm going home. Fuck this.
And no one likes you.
You're a nerd. Yeah. You're a nerd.